appreciate the prayer that's gone before. Trust you would remain prayerful as we try to speak to you this morning. 2 Timothy chapter 3:16 says, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God." Let me back up a couple of verses. Paul writes Timothy, verse 14, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Of course, he learned these things from the Lord. But he goes on, he says, "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." He's telling Timothy here to continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. Well, he had a godly mother and grandmother, which, you know, introduced him to the scriptures. But as we find in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7, Paul says, "Consider," to Timothy, his son in the ministry, "consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things." The understanding comes from the Lord. Okay, we consider the preaching of the word. We consider the word, but it takes enlightenment of the Lord to really reveal the scriptures to us. I'm made to think of Luke chapter 24, verse 45, where it talks about that Christ says, "Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the scriptures." It certainly takes the Lord to bless us to be able to understand the scriptures. But he says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, and that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Then he goes on to say, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." Thought that earlier on this week I would deal specifically with the divine inspiration and preservation of the Word of God. But thinking upon that subject, and then I thought, well, you know, that's good, and that would be good to speak on. I'm not going to try to speak on that today. But the other thing connected with it that we find in most primitive Baptist articles of faith is that we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testament are the divinely inspired and preserved Word of God and the only rule for faith or standard of faith and practice. In other words, we go by the Scriptures. Scriptures are so important because it tells us the mind of God. It tells us the ways of God. All right? But I want to talk some to you today. The burden that I feel and the thing on my mind today, it's about the Scriptures. And it has to do with us looking to the Scriptures alone as our guide. But I really want to talk more about our attitude to the Word of God, being our guide. All right? And let me just say this. The Scriptures, Hebrews 1:1, I'll talk a little bit about the inspiration, etc. But this verse I just read has inspiration in it. Verse 16, "All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God." In Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, but hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son." That Scripture simply says that God spake unto the fathers. He did it by the prophets. They were inspired. God would come and put His words, if you will, Inspired means it was breathed out by God through the prophets. And there's lots of scriptures we could look to show that. You had Isaiah, you had all the prophets, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, you know, Joel, you go Obadiah, you go read them, and they would say, oftentimes a common expression was, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Because the Lord is speaking through them. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, no prophecy of the scripture is by any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That's 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, 20. Okay, if you're taking notes. In other words, it's of no private interpretation, the scripture. It's not that Jeremiah thought, you know, this would be good to write. Ezekiel thought, oh, I think I'll write this. But they were moved by the Spirit of God to speak and to write. And so this is the divinely inspired and preserved Word of God. Let me just get one scripture in Jeremiah to kind of explain how this is, how they spake. How is it that God spake unto the fathers by the prophets? Well, in Jeremiah chapter 2, let's start in verse 1, or chapter 1. The word of the Lord came unto me, verse 4, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. God had decided before he was ever born that he was ordained a prophet, to be a prophet of the Lord. And of course, Jeremiah, he's a young fella, and he has great humility, and I don't think it's a false humility. He says, oh Lord, I cannot speak, for I'm but a child. What am I going to say? You know, what can you say? And that's kind of the attitude of a good preacher is, you know, who am I? What can I do? You know, what can I say? Well, the Lord has to bless. But we don't speak by inspiration like they did in the Old Testament. Okay? I think God gives me thoughts and to share the things that's been on my mind, but I don't speak by inspiration. I preach this, which was inspired, all right? But just see, Jeremiah says, oh, Lord, I cannot speak for him but a child. Here's what God said to him. Verse 7, but the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. All right? God would come and say, you speak this word. And so he would speak this word. If he's faithful, he would speak the words of God. God spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets. And you'll see this. And he says, be not afraid of their faces. He says, whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Verse 7. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand. Verse 9. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. There's inspiration. There's an explanation of inspiration right there. He said, I've put my words in thy mouth. Okay? And so then you find in chapter 2, verse 1, moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, go and cry in the ears of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord. Why did they say, thus saith the Lord? Because Jeremiah wanted you to understand that this is God who said, I'm going to put my words in your mouth and you're going to speak my words. Okay? So there's inspiration. It's attributed to God, the Holy Spirit. Again, 1 Peter chapter 1, the prophecy came not in old time by the will of men. Wasn't just by man's will decided he thought this would be good to say. But holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. All right, inspiration. And Psalms, or 2 Samuel chapter 23, verse 2, David says, "The Spirit of the Lord was upon me, and his word was in my tongue. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue." All right, so enough. God inspired his word, and he's preserved his word. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. That's Psalms 12, 7 and 8. All right. God's preserved his word. All right. So we have the word of God. All right. That's all the time I'm going to spend on the inspiration and preservation of the word of God. God said he would preserve it from generation to generation. But back over here where we started, and this is what's on my mind today, I don't know why, the Second Timothy chapter 3, he says, "From a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures." Verse 16, "All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works." So we have the inspired and preserved Word of God. And my thoughts today is, what does that mean to us today? How precious are the words of God? And do we look to the Word of God as God's words? And if we have respect to God, we're going to have respect to His Word. If we love God, we're going to love His Word, because that's a reflection of His will and His ways. But after Paul tells Timothy all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, he gives him a charge. He's in chapter 4. "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at His appearing in His kingdom, preach the Word." Preach what Word? Well, the Word that's given by inspiration. All right? He just talked about the Scriptures, make you wise unto salvation. All Scripture is given by the inspiration of God. Now he's charging him to do what? Preach the Word. Now that's what we're supposed to do here. That's what I'm supposed to be doing every time I get up in this pulpit, is to preach the Word. I'm not just to preach my ideas. I'm not to preach my dreams. I'm not to preach give you the latest rundown on John Piper's latest book he wrote, or some other author. It's not to talk about the weather. It's not to talk about this or that. I remember one time when I came home from college many years ago, and I was down at my dad's woodworking shop, and it was Sunday evening. And I knew that the local Baptist church, First Baptist Church in Perryton, they had their services aired on the radio. And so I thought, I'll tune in and see, hear some preaching. Well, I tuned in, and the pastor got up, and he started in, with his remarks about how he was glad to see all the college students home for the summer, and all the people there, so grateful to see them, and to hear that they're progressing in their schooling. And he was talking, and he said, "Okay, he's doing all these preliminary remarks," and he did about 10 to 15 minutes of preliminary remarks, and the service was over. I never heard one preaching anything reference to the Word of God at all, and I went away disappointed, because I thought he was just getting started and he stopped. That was it. All right. But he says, "I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who should judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom." He says, preach the Word. Preach the Word. And that's what we're supposed to be preaching. Not supposed to be preaching dreams and things, or my little ideas. We're to preach the Word. In Jeremiah chapter 23, it actually talks about dreams there. And that's why you're never going to hear me. Lord willing, you'll never hear me say, you know what, brother? I had a dream last night. Let me tell you about my dream. Let me tell you about my dream. Unless I have a point to it, or I'm trying to make an illustration out of what I'm preaching the word. Jeremiah chapter 23, verse 25 says, I've heard what the prophet said that prophesy lies in my name, saying, I have dreamed, I have dreamed. I've dreamed, I've dreamed. And they're using their dreams instead of the word of God to prophesy lies in God's name. Now, you might catch me using a dream or something to make an illustration of something. And I might be making the illustration that dreams don't mean anything lots of times. I've met a few people. So what do you think that dream meant? Well, it means I probably had too much, you know, sauerkraut to eat last night or whatever. I don't know. Not all dreams necessarily mean anything. And I've seen people distraught because they can't figure out what the dream means. And they just make something up. I don't know. Sometimes we have weird dreams. Strange dreams. I'm not telling you dreams can't mean something, but when it comes to direction, you ought to look at the Word of God, not a dream. All right? He says, these prophets have prophesied lies in my name, saying, I've dreamed, I've dreamed. How long shall this be in the heart of the prophets that prophesy lies? Yea, they are prophets of the deceit of their own hearts, which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal. Then he says, verse 28, the prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat? Now the chaff's the dream. The wheat is the word. And the only thing that's going to nourish God's people is not feeding them with a bunch of chaff, but the word. The wheat. That wheat will be nourishing to you. And he compares that wheat to the word and the chaff to dreams. If all you ate was chaff, you'd grow, you'd blow up and dry away. We need the sincere milk of the word that we may grow thereby. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2. He says, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow thereby. You're not going to grow anything eating, you know, on dreams, chaff. The prophet that hath the dream, well, you go ahead and tell a dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak it faithfully. And that's what Paul is telling Timothy to do. He gave him a charge. He says, preach the word. And I'll just say this. If I didn't believe that I had the divinely inspired word and preserved word of God, I wouldn't have anything to preach. Wouldn't have anything to preach. If we think, well, we really don't have the word today, it's just, you know, it's been changed and, you know, God really didn't preserve his word, we just kind of have some sort of what God might have said back in there, then we don't have the word of God. But we've got the word of God, and Jesus believed we had the word of God, and I said I wasn't going to mention anything else about inspiration or preservation. I'm going to go back to Matthew 22, talk a little bit about preservation just for a moment, just for a moment. Matthew chapter 22. Because I want you to see that the Word of God is not only inspired, but God has preserved His Word. Matthew chapter 23, we find that Jesus is going to tell us something very important. He reveals something very important. And what is it He revealed? He revealed that the Word of God that they had back in Jesus' day when He walked this earth, they had the Word of God because God had preserved it from the Old Testament times up to Jesus' day. We read him here in Matthew chapter 22. Here were some, verse 23. There were, the same day came to him Sadducees, which say there's no resurrection. And of course they talk about there was a man, a brother, he married a wife. And saying, Master, Moses, verse 24. Let's just go ahead and read it. Saying, Master, Moses said, if a man die, having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up seed unto his brother. Now there were with us seven brethren. And the first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother. Likewise the second also, and the third unto the seventh. And last of all, the woman died also. Therefore in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. You say, what does this all have to do? These are people that don't believe in a resurrection, and they're kind of mocking the Lord, saying, well, here's a man that's married to all, this woman married to all these different men, so in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? You believe there's a resurrection? The Sadducees didn't believe there's a resurrection. They thought it was hogwash. But Jesus answered and said unto them, you do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. There's a lot right there. You do err not knowing the scriptures. The scriptures are true. You want to err? You just depart from the word of God and you'll be in error. You do err not knowing the scriptures. Now, if they'd have known the scriptures, they would. If they had known the scriptures, they wouldn't have believed there's no resurrection of the dead. It's taught all in the Old Testament. Isaiah 28 from one place. Thy dead men shall live, together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake, thou that dwell in the dust, and the earth shall cast out her dead. The resurrection is taught in the Bible. Job chapter 14. God's going to bring them out. If a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my appointed time will I wait till my change come. Thou shalt call and I'll answer thee. The resurrection's in the Old Testament. It's not just a New Testament doctrine. You do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. And he says this, for in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. He's simply saying that God is still the God of Abraham. He's still the God of Jacob. All right? He's still the God of Isaac. Because they're still around. They're just in heaven. He's still their God. And their body's going to be raised up one of these days. But what I want you to see here is verse 31. Very important. He says, but as touching of the touching the resurrection of the dead, have ye not read that which is spoken unto you by God? He just told us in Jesus' day, he could take the Old Testament scriptures, something written over a thousand years before, because he's quoting out of Exodus chapter 3, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. God actually said that 1,000 years previous to that. But now Jesus is reading it in the scriptures that he has, something that was written over 1,000 years before. And Jesus said, haven't you ever read what God said? He was able to read exactly what God said 1,000 years before, because it's written 1,000 years before. He's reading it 1,000 years later. The only way he could actually read what God actually said, not just something close to what God said, or maybe sort of what God said. He actually had what God said, because God preserved his word from that generation over the centuries unto Jesus' day, so that Jesus could take the scriptures of the Old Testament that he had there available to him. Remember Luke chapter 4, he's reading out of scripture. The scriptures he had, is he said, that's what God said back then. Not something sort of close to it, but what God actually said. We can read what God said. Jesus could read what God actually said because he preserved it unto his day, and we can read what God said, because God's preserved it unto us today. The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them from this generation forever. All right? So, Paul tells Timothy, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. If I didn't believe I had a divinely inspired and preserved word of God, I wouldn't be preaching, because I'd have nothing to preach, because we're only supposed to preach the word. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. preachers ought to be ready to preach. I remember one time that Elder T.J. Pittman was a Primitive Ed's preacher up where I, when I was a kid. Well, he also worked for the county. He kept the grounds at the cemetery. And he was down there cutting grass one time. They had a funeral there, and the preacher didn't show up. So Brother T.J., I said, they called him over there. He did a little funeral service right there. He's pretty instant in season, out of season. All right? But he says, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. We're back to 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. With all, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap, but after their own lusts, shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Think about that. He tells Timothy, be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke with all authority, for the time will come. The time will come when they will not endure. The people you are preaching to. Boy, that's common. That's not much of an encouragement right there. He said the time's going to come, they're not going to endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and through their own lust shall they... It says, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. You know, what that's saying is, you know, I don't really like, you know, don't preach the word to me. You know, you preach the word to me, that's going to step on my toes from time to time. Get a little kick in the shin from time to time. I don't know. The word of the Lord can be convicting. I want you to tickle my ears. I want you to tell me something pleasant. Preach some other things to me. Don't preach the word. That's too convicting. You know, entertain me with something else. Well, that's probably the problem. Preaching's not entertainment. Said the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Sound doctrine. In other words, sound preaching of the word, not the chaff, not the dreams, but preaching the word. It says they're not going to endure it anymore. And they're going to find teachers over there that's going to be able to teach them and preach on what more pleasant things they want to hear. We ought to be preaching all the counsel of God. Not just the things that are pleasant. It reminds me over here in 1 Timothy chapter 4. It says, now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. They're giving heed not to sound doctrine. They're going to leave the faith because they're going to start listening to something else. But he says, preach the word. They shall turn their... He says, from the time will come, they will not endure sound doctrine. If we go back to... let's go back to Jeremiah. I don't know if we want to go Jeremiah 23 first. Well, we're not going to go back to 23, but there's a time. See, part of the problem of why the children of Israel went into idolatry is they turned their back on the Word of God. They couldn't endure sound doctrine. And they Turn with me to all right, let's just do this. Turn with me to Jeremiah. You remember we're already back over there. We already looked in chapter 1, right? Where God says, before I formed thee in the womb, I ordained thee and sanctified thee to be a prophet unto the nations. Oh, Lord, I cannot speak, for I'm a child. But God says, say not I'm a child. He says, for thou shalt go to all that I send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Don't be afraid of the face. You be faithful to me. Do you know why Jeremiah ended up down in a prison in the mire? Because he preached the word of the Lord. Why they were trying to take him and do away with him? Because he was faithfully trying to preach the word. And if we look here, let's just look here in Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah chapter 11. Start in verse 18. And the Lord hath given me knowledge of it. We're cutting into a context here, but it'll become clear pretty soon. Verse 19, he says, this is Jeremiah's talking about himself. I was as like a lamb or an ox that is brought to the slaughter. And I knew not that they had devised devices against me, saying, let us destroy the tree with the fruit thereof, and let us cut him off from the land of the living, that his name may be no more remembered. And I know this doesn't set the context, but they were wanting to do away with Jeremiah, and the reason was because he was preaching the word of the Lord, because they didn't really want the word of the Lord. But O Lord of hosts, that judgest righteously, now he's petitioning the Lord, that triest the reins and the heart, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. You remember there was one place, I can't even tell you where that is now. He says, I'll no longer speak in thy name. Remember that? I'll no longer speak in thy name, but thy word was in my flames as I'm not quoting that right, but as bones, and I could not stay. You know, God had burdened him with the message, but he got so fed up with it, he's like, I'm not going to speak anymore in your name because it just caused me problems. People hate me. They're trying to get me. They want to do away with me because they're not hearing the word of the Lord. I mean, this is the kind of people over here that you, Brother Tom, mentioned in your prayer about the old paths. Listen, in Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 16 says this, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. That was the message of Jeremiah to this wayward, froward generation that had turned their back upon God and were offering their children as sacrifice to Molech through fire, burning up their kids. And that they were worshiping the Queen of Heaven and all this idolatry stuff. God's word says, stand ye in the way, verse 16, and see and ask for the old paths, wherein is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Not going to have it. We will not. Look at that obstinacy. We will not walk therein. Also, I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken. We will not hearken. We're still going to go Jeremiah 11 just for a second. Let's go to Nehemiah, though, first. Nehemiah chapter 9. Nehemiah chapter 9. This is a commentary upon the children of Israel, how they turned their back upon God, and God finally sent them into Assyrian and then Babylonian captivity because they turned away from God and the things of God and the service of God from following God as prescribed in the Word of God. They threw and cast God's law behind their back. Nehemiah chapter 9 talks about, and we could read many, many, many verses about how God blessed them. God gave them the promised land, a land flowing with milk and honey. They gave him all these things. He blessed them. Verse 25, and they took, at the end of it, we're going to read a little bit of it, and they took strong cities and a fat land and possessed houses full of all goods, wells digged, vineyards, olive yards, fruit trees in abundance. So they did eat and were filled and became fat and delighted themselves in thy great goodness. Lord blessed them abundantly. But look at the commentary about these people. Verse 26, the next verse. Nevertheless, they were disobedient and rebelled against thee. Listen. They rebelled against God. They rebelled against thee and cast thy law behind their backs. The law, that's God's word. All right? It was God's word. His laws, his statutes, his precepts. He says, they cast thy law behind their backs and slew thy prophets which testified against them to turn them to thee, and they wrought great provocation. All right? What do you mean? They cast God's law behind their back and slew the prophets which God came to preach his word for the purpose of turning them back to God. Repentance, return, repent, turn away from your idolatries and turn back to God. That's not a pleasant message for someone who's in idolatry and has turned their back on God. You should expect them to get upset. Not all the word of God is going to be received by all people. Now, it should be in the house of God. Should be. But people hate the word of God, especially those who are breaking the word of God. They're not interested in the word of God. In Jeremiah chapter, we're still going to 11, maybe. Go to Jeremiah chapter 36. Jeremiah chapter 36. Here's the attitude of a king to the word of God. There was a young man, Josiah by name. I think he became king of Judah when he was like 8 years old. My memory serves me correctly. He came, and by that time, the temple of God was in a shambles. It's boarded up, closed up. If I'm getting my remembers right, I mean, it was in great disarray. And I think this is the same. The same. That's I may be getting my story mixed up. I think I am. One time they found the word of God that had been lost. All right, and they're like, "What?" You know, and then they repented. But anyway, this may be a different time. In Jeremiah chapter 36. God tells Jeremiah. Let's just start reading verse 1. And it came to pass in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, that this word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, take thee a roll of a book, and write therein all the words that I have spoken unto thee against Israel, and against Judah, and against all the nations, from the day that I spoke unto thee, from the days of Josiah, even unto this day. Yeah, this was not, I think it was in Josiah's day, but this particular instance is Jehoiakim is the king. This is right close to when they got taken into Babylonian captivity. Okay, but I think it was Josiah when they found the word of the Lord. But what he's telling Jeremiah here is, take a roll of a book, and from the days of Josiah unto now, and if you look at that, that's like a span of 23 years. He's basically telling Jeremiah, I moved you to speak all these things, for the last 23 years? Now I want you to write them down in a roll of a book. That's scripture, see? Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. That which came out audibly out of their mouth was the word of the Lord, but then God moved them to write it down. That's why we have scripture today. So here's a place where God is saying, you produce scripture. Of everything that I told you, you write it down. So he wrote it down. Verse 6 says, therefore that go thou and read in the roll that which thou hast written from my mouth, the words of the Lord in the ears of the people in the Lord's house upon the fasting day. Also thou shalt read them in the ears of all Judah that come out of the cities. It may be they will present their supplication before the Lord and will return everyone from his evil way. For great is the anger and the fury that the Lord hath pronounced against this people. So basically, this is just another thing. God says, you go read this. Maybe they may turn. You remember what we read in Nehemiah 9:26? It says, you cast my law behind your back and slew my prophets, which testified against thee, to turn thee unto thee. The whole purpose is that we turn back to the Lord, live closer to the Lord, to honor the Lord by how we live according to the ways of God and how in His Word. And He told the children of Israel, if you will do these things, I'll bless you. But you turn them away and wrath's going to come, my judgments. You throw my law behind your back. There's consequences to that. How much should we heed the Word of God and love the Word of God? Job said 23 verse 2, I have desired the words of my mouth more than my necessary food. We could go into Psalms 119. We might get there in a minute. How God talked about that He says, thy word, O Lord, is a light unto my path and a lamp unto my feet. He talks about how He loves God's statutes. He loves God's law. He delights in God's law. Do we delight in the Word of God, which is a reflection of God? If we love God, we're going to love the Word of God. These people, they didn't love the Word of God. They didn't like the ways of God. That's why they turned away from them and did their own thing. All right? Did their own thing. Now God tells Jeremiah, you write all the words that I have given you since the days of Josiah up into this day, 23 years worth, according to my figuring, and you write it in a roll of a book, and you go read it before the king, you read it before Jerusalem, all the people. And Baruch, the son of Neri, verse 8, did according to all that Jeremiah the prophet commanded him, reading in the book the words of the law in the Lord's house. Now you'd think that'd be a place that you could get away with preaching the word of God in the Lord's house, right? Yeah, you go to Jeremiah chapter 7 and see how it worked out. Go to Jeremiah chapter 28 and see how it worked out. We might make it over to 28 in a minute. But he says here that they read in the house of the Lord. But then we're found that he went down to the king's house, verse 12. But then he went down into the king's house and into the scribe's chamber. And lo, all the princes sat there. And it names them there. I'm not going to try to pronounce their names. Verse 13 says, then Micaiah declared unto them all the words that he had heard when Baruch read the book in the ears of the people. Therefore all the princes sent Jehudi, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Shelemi, the son of Cushi, unto Barak, saying, take in thine hand the roll which thou hast read in the ears of the people, and come. So Barak, the son of Neri, took the roll in his hand and came unto them. And they said unto him, sit down now and read it in our ears. So Barak read it in their ears. Now this is in the ears of all the, I think these were the princes there. It came to pass when they had heard all the words, verse 16. Now it came to pass when they had heard all the words that were, they were afraid, both one and the other, and said unto Barak, we will surely tell the king all these words. It's kind of like when they found the book of the law of the Lord, I think it's Josiah's day, and they read it. They're like, we're toast, man. I mean, God said this. We've departed from God. We've lost the instruction book. We're in a bad way. And they repented. Now these guys are saying, these confidence to the king, saying, we need to take this to the king. We need to read these words to the king. Oh. Verse 20 says, and they went into the king, into the court, but they laid out the roll in the chamber of Elishama the scribe, and told all the words in the ears of the king. So the king sent Jehudah to fetch the roll, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber. Now the king's involved, right? He said, okay, go give me this scroll. So the king sent him to fetch it, and he took it out of Elishama the scribe's chamber, and Jehudah read it in the ears of the king and in the ears of all the princes that stood beside the king. Now the king sat in the winter house in the ninth month, and there was a fire on the hearth burning before him. And it came to pass that when Jehudah had read three or four leaves of the scroll, that the king says he cut it with a penknife and cast it into the fire that was on the hearth until the roll was consumed in the fire that was on the hearth. Wow, didn't think much of the Word of God, did he? He read three or four leaves of the roll. He cut it up with a knife, pitched it in the fire. Not everybody wants the Word of God. The time will come, they'll not endure sound doctrine. They'll try to get people saying what I want to hear. Don't tell me that. And they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. And through that, people shall be turned away from the truth and turned unto fables. A lot of people want to live in a make-believe world. In a world of fables. Now let's go to Jeremiah. Now that I kind of set the stage, Jeremiah chapter 11. Jeremiah in verse 19 talks about people devising devices against him. O Lord, verse 20, that judgest righteously and triest the reins and the hearts, let me see thy vengeance on them, for unto thee have I revealed my cause. Here's what God says to Jeremiah in verse 21. Therefore thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord that thou die not by our hand. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I will punish them, and the young men shall die by the sword, their sons and their daughters shall die by the famine. There shall be no remnant of them, for I will bring evil upon the men of Anathoth, even the year of their visitation. Now, one that wanted out of that is verse 21. There were people seeking to kill Jeremiah. Thus saith the Lord of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of the Lord that thou die not by our hands. They didn't want the word of God being preached. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 18, verse 18. Then said they, here's some of these men conspiring against Jeremiah. And why is he being conspired against? Because he's simply being faithful and he's preaching the word of God that God had put in his mouth to speak. They're rejecting God's word through rejecting Jeremiah. They don't want God's word. They said, then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor the counsel from the wise, nor the word from the prophet. Come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. We don't want to hear his words. Don't want to hear his words. Go with me to chapter 28. I think it's 28. Let's see. No, it's 26. Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah chapter 26, Jeremiah goes into a place which you'd think they would receive God's word. Because look where God's having him speak. Let's start in verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim. This is Jehoiakim that took a penknife to the roll and burned it. Same man, Jehoiakim. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from the Lord, saying, thus saith the Lord. Thus from the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Now, if you think there's a place that would receive the word of God, it should be right here in the Lord's house. People coming to worship the Lord in the Lord's house. Well, finally, I'm glad that I got someone's going to listen to me that wants the word of God preached. Not so much. Not so much. He says, you go stand in the court of the Lord's house and speak unto all the cities of Judah which come to worship in the Lord's house. We're going to find they didn't want the word of the Lord either. All the words that I commanded to speak unto them diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them because of the evil of their doing. And before I read this further, I'm going to jump back just for a moment to Jeremiah 7. A similar situation where God says, speak, or actually he says verse, let's just read that. Jeremiah 7:1, the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, stand in the gate of the Lord's house. He said in the back, stand in the way of the Lord's house. Stand in the gate of the Lord's house and proclaim there this word and say, hear the word of the Lord, all ye of Judah that enter in these gates to worship the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I'll cause you to dwell in this place. Trust not in lying words, saying, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. And there's a message in that. They were trusting in the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord. God says, I'm going to make this temple like Shiloh. Shiloh's where the Ark of God was taken by the Philistines. Because they trusted. Remember they said over there, let's go get the ark. It will save us out of our enemies. They had their focus on the ark instead of the God of the ark. These people have their focus on the temple of God instead of the God of the temple. And they're just going through a form. There's lots of folks go through a form. Every Sunday across this nation world, they'll go through a form because they think they're going to curry favor with God. Oh, I did my duty. I went to church today. I've heard people say, you know, this person's not right with the Lord. He may go to hell. Well, you better start going to church. Like that's going to save you. That ain't going to save you. Oh, but it alleviates our, you know, it soothes our conscience. I've done my duty. It's like the Pharisee in Luke 18. Yeah, I tithe, I do all this stuff, and I'm glad I'm not like these sinners over here. Well, listen to what he said. He said in Jeremiah 7, if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, he says, behold, you trust in lying words that cannot profit. He's telling people here going to worship the Lord. He says, you will steal, murder, commit adultery, and swear falsely, burn incense unto Baal, and walk after other gods whom ye know not, and come and stand before me in this house, which is called by my name, saying we're delivered to do all these abominations. Here's people worshiping the Lord, and look what it said, how they're living. That's why God said, amend your ways and doing. I'll cause you to dwell in this house, but if not, we'll take you in captivity. Now let's go to back chapter 26. He says, stand in the court of the Lord's house, speak all these words. Thou shalt say, verse 4, thus saith the Lord, if ye will not hearken to me to walk in my laws, which I have set before you, to hearken to my words and of my servants the prophets, whom I sent unto you, both rising early and sending them, but ye have not hearkened. They came preaching the word. He says, then will I make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse, to all nations of the earth. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of the Lord to all those people coming to worship. Now it came to pass, verse 8, when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that the Lord had commanded to him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, thou shalt surely die. Thou shalt surely die. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of the Lord, saying, this house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of the Lord. Well, he was preaching the truth. Preaching the truth that God had given him to speak. But they thought he was a false prophet. You know why? Because they'd had all these people preaching their dreams. Like saying, peace, peace, when there was no peace. And I'm going to have to stop there. That may be a down note or a bad, you know. But I'm out of time. Those prophets, what I maybe at a later time, they were crying, peace, peace, and there was no peace. They were preaching false teaching, saying that, I'll give you one inkling, and then I'm going to close. Go back to Jeremiah 23. I've got to finish, then we'll be done right here. Chapter 23. Verse 16. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, hearken not unto the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you. They make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. Jeremiah's preaching was not all the preaching that they were listening to. They had multitudes of false prophets saying, peace, peace, everything's good. And then Jeremiah comes along with doom and gloom. God's going to judge you and take you out. Let's kill him. Let's not give heed to any of his words. It says they speak, God says, hearken not to the words of the prophets that prophesy unto you that make you vain. They speak a vision out of their own heart and not out of the mouth of the Lord. They say still unto them, this is what the false prophets are teaching. They say still unto them that despise me, to people that despise God, what are they saying? Thou shalt have peace. And they say unto everyone that walketh after the imagination of his own heart, no evil shall come upon you. It's all good. It's all good. It's fluffy. It's nice. Now Jeremiah had to come along speaking the true word of God. And they rejected it. And I'll just say this on that score. If they had gone back to like Deuteronomy 28 and other places, and were interested in what God's word said, they would exactly know that Jeremiah's message was spot on, because God already said, if you forsake me, you turn your back on my laws and my ways, famine, pestilence, and destruction, and being overrun by the enemy is what you're going to face. But they forsook the word of God. May God give us a desire and hunger for the word of God. And that we may search diligently, like the Bereans. When we hear what preached, they search the scriptures daily to see if those things were so. This was the touchstone of truth of God and his ways. May God bless us to have a hunger and thirst for it. May God bless you. Amen.